There are times in life where, despite our very best intentions, our words are misunderstood and give an unintended message to the hearer. Like yesterday, when I sent a text to Nancy McSwain with the intention of letting her know my goal of getting to her the PowerPoint for worship before noon. However, my iPhone had other ideas. I made the mistake of not looking before I sent the text that autocorrect had changed to say, I should have the pot to you before noon. Well, perhaps Nancy thought for a moment that I was dealing dope on the side and had accidentally sent my message to her rather than a client of mine, but I assure you that that was not the case at all. It was just an honest mistake. But sometimes our words do give an unintended message to the hearer, much like in today's scripture passage. Perhaps you were shocked by the seemingly rude and disrespectful tone of the preteen Jesus. Those of us raised to respect our elders and honor our fathers and mothers perhaps experience a bit of conflict in our souls. What do we do when our sinless Savior acts in a way that seems to violate our traditions of respect and proper behavior? Well, the scriptures are chock full of paradoxes like this one, sayings and doings that challenge our understanding and cultural biases. Help us remember that His kingdom is not of this world. But these difficult episodes in scripture are a golden opportunity to grow in wisdom if we lean in. And unfortunately, there is little documentation of the path of maturity of our Savior in His formative years. Luke tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom over the years, but the scriptures are radio silent about His childhood after His birth in the manger, escape to Egypt, and presentation in the temple as an infant. There are no stories in the Bible about terrible twos toddler Jesus, no narratives about Jesus in Montessori school, kindergarten graduation, or Little League. We have just this one glimpse into Jesus' childhood at age 12, when boys come of age in ancient Jewish culture, and as Jesus joins His family on their annual pilgrimage south to Jerusalem for the Passover holiday. The Passover pilgrimage was an annual journey that Jews made to celebrate the liberation of their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. From Galilee, this would have been a long walk, over 60 miles on foot, taking 4 or 5 days each way. And the Jewish people would travel together in large caravans. So Mary and Joseph probably assumed that Jesus was somewhere among their group, somewhere among their fellow travelers. And when they began the long trek back home, they didn't seem too concerned that He wasn't with them. Until they found out that Jesus was not, in fact, among the caravan. Imagine the panic that ensued after 3 sleepless nights wondering where their beloved son could be. It is human nature for our minds to race through all the worst-case scenarios in such a crisis. And it must have been a tremendous relief to find their son sitting in the temple, teaching the awestruck rabbis whose jaws hung open with amazement at the wisdom of this child prodigy. But Mary and Joseph were in no mood for a Bible lesson. After 3 days of anxiety, Mary let loose on her boy. She said, "Your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety. Child, why have you treated us like this?" But Jesus is not having it. And at age 12, He is already answering questions with questions. He replies, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I would be here? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Bryn, what would your father have done if you would have snapped back at your mother in this way? Well, there are differences in cultures, apparently, here on earth and in heaven. But Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph were indeed confused by his sharp words as well, just as we are. They did not understand what Jesus was saying. Jesus was the one who had broken cardinal, cultural, and community rules. And yet his words imply that it was they, Mary and Joseph, who were lacking in understanding. Jesus asked, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Did you forget about my calling? Do you not know that it is my Father's house where I will be nurtured in the ways and will of God? It's my Father's house where I will learn to hear God's voice and receive the faith and courage to walk where God calls me to go." And Jesus' message to Mary and Joseph is a message for us as well. Spending time in the Father's house with the Father's heart is a pathway to our preparation and transformation as well. Just as Mary and Joseph were invited on a journey of breaking through cultural and community traditions and bias to grow in understanding and wisdom, so it is for us. And the seemingly disrespectful words of Jesus to his parents actually act as a wake-up call for both them and us. And often Jesus does this. Jesus awakens our hearts by offending our minds. It's all through the Gospels. But Luke tells us that Jesus chose to go back to Nazareth with his parents after all, and was obedient to them. And then Luke tells us that his mother, Mary, treasured all these things in her heart. And perhaps this is another lesson from Mary for us, that even in the midst of suffering and anxiety and panic, confusion, misunderstanding as to even what's going on here, Mary kept her heart open, which paved the way for God's will to be done through her and her son. And I get it, it is not always easy to keep our hearts open when we're challenged in ways like this. It's not easy to receive new concepts and ideas into our belief systems either. This week I was listening to one of my favorite theologians, Brian McLaren, and he spoke about the embedded biases that we humans hold that sometimes keep us from seeing clearly what God wants us to see. One of these roadblocks he referred to as confirmation bias, an attitude causing us to judge new ideas based on the ease with which they fit in with and conform to our old ideas, old information, and the trusted authorities that we've learned to trust through the years. Often our belief systems cause us to exclude what at first glance doesn't seem to fit. And this was certainly the case for Mary. Jesus' behavior and words did not fit into her paradigm. But Jesus was about to break open that box and make room for a whole new type of spirituality. No one in the first century Jewish community had ever considered that we humans could have an intimate, parent-child type of relationship with God. This lifestyle of fostering a deep connection of love and union with the Father through prayer and meditation and song and study was foreign at the time, but would become the enduring legacy of Jesus' life and example. And through his life came an invitation for us all. Jesus taught that all of us, just like him, could enter into that warm and secure parent-child relationship with God, a nurturing relationship of trust. Jesus taught us that an intimate relationship with the Father is our birthright and a gift we received through the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but it is Jesus' greatest desire that we step into and pursue this relationship. Jesus prayed that we would be one, even as he and his Father are one, all of us united together in one big family. But often we struggle to believe that. We struggle to break through limitations in our belief systems, and we reject new ideas out of fear. We're afraid we will be deceived and led astray, and so we close our hearts and minds to the new wine Jesus is pouring out for a new season of growth. I believe we have been given the Holy Spirit in our hearts to help us discern the voice of God. And we begin to open our hearts when we have more faith in the Spirit's power to protect us than in the enemy's power to deceive us. When we live in fear, our biases surround us like a high wall, trapping us in ignorance, deception, and illusion. And no amount of reasoning and argument can get through to us unless we first learn how to break down these walls of bias that impede our vision. And like Mary, keep an open mind and open heart. I remember my own struggles to move into new modes of thinking in the kingdom and through Jesus. I remember the painful season in my morning prayers and study when the Holy Spirit began preparing me for a radical shift in my life. After 5 years of directing and teaching in a ministry school, I started to discern that my time was coming to an end. But I didn't necessarily want it to end. I loved what I did. I loved teaching and studying and all those things. And so at first, I resisted this new material, resisted Jesus's voice, this new message. I did not think that my faith community would understand what Jesus was showing me anyway. I did not think that they'd be able to see through the community bias that we shared together. I feared there would be conflict and rejection and maybe even estrangement as I walked the path that I felt God was calling me to walk. And so, like Mary, I first argued with Jesus. Why are you doing this? It was my question. You're asking me to give up my dream job, asking me to give up teaching the scriptures to students hungry to learn and grow in their faith. And I resisted this notion, eager to stay in the status quo so that my life would not be disrupted. But eventually, I learned through pain, through stress, that God had new paths for me to travel, new avenues of wisdom to walk and experience. And yes, they included strolls through darkness, doubt, and despair, trials of conflict, rejection, and estrangement. Part of the package for those who desire to imitate and follow Jesus, who warned us that in this world we will have trials and tribulations, but to fear not, for he has overcome them all. I believe that God has set before us at River Oaks Christian Church a profound path in 2022. And this path will not be free from obstacles. Some of these roadblocks could be embedded biases that block our ability to see in new ways and move in new directions. But I believe the Spirit of God wants to teach us how to partner with God to break down the walls of bias that hinder our growth. And so I have begun praying for us in this manner every morning, partnering with the Holy Spirit to break down any wall that might stand in our path, any plank that we might have in our eyes, that the spiritual forces and fences designed to resist us would be cleared away. Praying in the belief that greater is the one that is in us than the one that is in the world. And so, God, this morning, we want to come to you, join as a community, our hearts knit together, to pray together in this way. Pray that you will clear the way for us, acknowledging that you are the source of all truth, asking that you would help us to hunger for truth, even if it upsets, modifies, or overturns what we already believe to be true. We ask for you to guide us into all the truth that we can bear and stretch us to bear even more, so that we may always choose the whole truth, even with disruptions in our life. We ask for the whole truth over any half-truths or self-deceptions. We ask for you to grant us the passion to follow wisdom wherever it leads, even if it's uncomfortable, and that you would help us to overcome any fear of change that we might have. As 2022 has begun with a big bang in our world and in our church, we've already dealt with many struggles, many issues. But I believe there's an invitation in that. I believe we are invited, even in difficult times, to open our hearts and minds like Mary, to keep our hearts open, and to keep pursuing the voice of God. And for this, we're going to need courage. And it's a good thing that our God is the carrier and inspirer of holy boldness and humble bravery. And so this morning, Holy God, we ask you to grant us the humility we need to boldly forge ahead in the direction that you give, that we would be passionate in our pursuit of truth and action, that we would seek out understanding as if it were hidden treasure, digging deep beneath surface appearances to discover what is real in the depths. And may 2022 be a year of radical growth and transformation for us, God, individually and corporately. May we be able to say at the end of 2022 that River Oaks Christian Church treasured everything we received from you in our heart, and that we followed the path of Jesus, and we increased in wisdom and understanding and in divine favor with humans and with God. May we be able to declare at the end of 2022 with confidence, God is with us. God is indeed choosing a path for us, and much growth and transformation lies ahead for us. Amen.